Whoa.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Are you all yes.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Hey. La, 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 la. Yeah, that's how I've been feeling. I have been feeling that way. It's another day. It's another month. Oh, I don't even know how to begin and what to say. I started to give you a review on Jose Stevens's Keys to Transformation. But I figure if you want to know about the keys to transformation, you can always look at, what was it, 2 shows ago. It has same title, but it goes more in depth. And I think that would cover a lot without me going through it and boring some folks who have been practicing doing those keys. You know, adhering to those keys for transformation. So what have I been doing? I feel like my whole summer has just flown by me. Between this, well, that giant stent, which was removed on the 14th, thank goodness. It was removed last Wednesday. And I was shocked at how long it was. Very, very, very long. It was amazingly long. Think of a stent being a little teeny something. Now, this was really long with curly cues at opposite ends of it. I'm glad they put me asleep before they inserted it. And then, of course, I had that little bout with testing positive for COVID. Which I guess may be having me dragging a little bit for the last past couple of weeks. So I just kind of figure, you know, I didn't have a summer. But then I have to say I had the summer that I was meant to have. You know, that's how we talk about things and do things. And when we're living in the moment and we're just going day by day and taking one day at a time, as we say. No sense in looking back or what I feel I lost. Because if I look ahead, I have so many more things to look forward to. Let's see. My building's going to the casino tomorrow. And I'm going up there because I have family up there. And I go up there to visit with my sponsor and have lunch with her. And I'm not a gambler. So I just go up there for the ride. I don't have to drive myself. Just get on the bus with 11 other tenants or residents. 6 from my building and 6 from the building across the way. And we go up there and we have a good time. It's my way of interacting with people on the bus and being around people. Because I can become really, really, really reclusive. You know, I'm one of those people who doesn't have to go outside. No, who can go outside without leaving their apartment, you know, because I have a balcony. And I don't want to get used to doing that. I can get sun by stepping out on the balcony. I don't have to interact with people. But that's not my nature. I love people. I enjoy people. But I also enjoy my space and being to myself. And I could sit in here and watch movies all day, every day. But then when I get up and try to walk well, don't try. I get up and go for a walk down to the other end of the building to take my recycling. I know that I'm not getting the exercise that I need. My legs feel weak. And, you know, you can start losing all kinds of bone mass and muscle mass just laying around. And because of that stent and then finding, you know, the addition to the testing positive, I've been just kind of laying around. I'll go to the store, come back, and take off my clothes. I just want to take a nap. And then when I nap throughout the day, then I can't go to sleep at night. So then I'm up all night and watching the movies. That's how come I'm going to talk a little teeny bit about that movie Divergent. That's an old, old movie, but it talks about some good stuff. So, I have been having a very dear friend of mine. I call her my sister Reverend because we received our ordination at the same time. She does energy work, and she's been working on me. And she does it remotely, and it's amazing, you know, because I'm looking forward to her doing some work on me this coming Wednesday, because after she worked on me last week, I was able to get up, mosey around, and do some stuff with more energy than I've had, let's just say, the whole summer because of all this other stuff going on with me. And so I'm thankful for her. She's a blessing to me. And if anyone wants to know more about Ada Gutierrez, you can contact me at duchessontheair@gmail.com. And I'll be very happy to put you in touch with Ada Gutierrez, because she does energy work remotely. So it really doesn't matter where you are on the face of this earth. She calls in her guides, and your guides attend while she's doing the energy work on you. And your guides are a part of the whole process. So it's like having spiritual surgery. It's really cool. It's really amazing. And she'll work on me for about an hour and a half, and that hour and a half will pass. Just like that. And sometimes I'll talk to her while she's doing it. Excuse me. There are other times when she has to say, wake up, wake up, wake up, sleepyhead, because I've relaxed so much that I've fallen asleep. So I'll be having that done. And I'm looking forward to talking to y'all today about quite a few things. Now, one of the things that we talked about two shows ago, about the key aspects of transformation, that was where Jose Stevens talked about things needing a cleansing. You know, we need to cleanse our auric field. We need to cleanse our energy field. We need to cleanse our inner selves, our inner functionings. And he was saying that human beings are concentrate. We think that human beings are merely concentrations of consciousness in a highly conscious universe. This makes us both brilliant and extraordinarily stupid, and that we don't see that. We don't see who we are and what we are and all that we are. You know, and human beings are not just these fleshy physical bodies we see in the mirror or walking around in the landscape. You know, these are just very poor interpretations of vibrations of light that we actually are. Because if you look at the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? That's a good movie. That's an old one also. What the Bleep? You'll see, like Deepak Chopra says, You know, we are balls of energy, you know, and there are spaces in between the spaces of that energy. We just look and appear in solid form. Jose was saying that human beings are self-illuminating. Self-illuminating like the sun and the stars. We are not like the planets and moons that don't produce their own light, but reflect. We reflect our own light sources. And that human beings are designed to be self-cleansing in so many ways. Cleansing, though, can be pretty messy. But once we get in the habit of that cleansing process on our own, it gets easier and easier. I guess that's what a lot of people find when they do those 12 steps that we've been talking about. You know, you get to the fourth step. You know, you take a fearless and searching moral inventory of yourselves. And number five, you admit to your creator, yourself, and to another human being the exact nature of your wrong. And then you request, you ask your creator to remove your shortcomings and your defects of character. You know, and it's all about intention. What is our intention? And as human beings, well, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So once we recognize that fact, we can believe and we can realize that it just takes us intending to create things differently in our lives. You know, I took some notes about the shifting and changing on the planet, because there's a lot of shifting, there's new energy, and we've been talking about this for a couple of years. That's why some may be bored about the fact that I always mention the changing energy on the face of the planet. But if you're aware, you are aware that it is happening, you know? And some will say, well, you know, like, you got a war going on and a new war has started and all that. But don't you realize that that's the old energy trying to hold on, trying to drag us backwards? Don't you realize that we have politicians that are trying to drag us backwards, to keep us from going forward? You know, that's part of that old energy. And it doesn't matter what your belief system is. The transformation is going to happen. And it's going to happen in a way that it benefits all of humankind, all of us, you know. And there are some things that I may not like. Like, I didn't like having that daggone stent put in me. But having that in me transformed the problem that was going on with my kidney. So sometimes we have to accept what we consider to be the uglies in order to perfect something that is meant to be improved. We're just going to have to accept this stuff. And the more we fight it, the more confusing things are for us. You know? Most of our light workers and most of our spirit guides and most of our, I don't even know what word I'm trying to say. We need to realize that we were not born, you know, to be taught love or to teach, you know, to teach love. We came to love. We came to love. And once we come here and we realize that we are the essence of all that is love, then love will teach us. It's love that has to teach us. You know, we want peace. We want joy. We want happiness. We want compassion. And we have to realize that we are indeed beautiful. I was talking to, I was listening to Joe Vitale, and he was discussing the understanding of the practice of Ho'oponopono. Now, that may be very, very new to some of you, but there are a lot of you who know the Hawaiian term Ho'oponopono. And with that, it's just the practice of saying four things that can change your whole entire life. I couldn't believe this. It's amazing. It's amazing. He was saying all you have to do, and you have to say, you don't have to say it for out loud. You don't have to say it directed at a person. All you have to do is say this within yourself. You know, say you're having a problem with the weather. Say you're having a problem with your boss. He was saying that this is a reflection of you. This is what you're projecting outside of yourself when you're having these problems. And he started, he said that all you have to do is say, make four statements inside yourself. Okay? You say to yourself, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And he was saying that you can say it in any order. But I choose to say it in my own order, and maybe I'm wrong. But I choose to say, please forgive me. I am sorry. Thank you. I love you. She can say it in any order. Now, when you really practice in Ho'oponopono, it's like a meditation. And it's like the Muslims call their thicker beads, or the Catholics call their rosary beads. But you recite this 108 times. Now, I have some mala beads, and I can use those to recite. But what's been amazing for me is that without even being consciously aware, these four statements pop up in my brain automatically. And I realize that at various times when I'm waking up in the morning, when I'm on the way to the bathroom, you know, when I'm in the kitchen cooking, these four statements or affirmations just pop up in my head and I'm saying them. So I'm sure I've said it more than 108 times, you know? So I was listening to Kryon. I'm jumping around here because I've been listening to a whole lot of different folks, because I haven't been feeling like going outside of the house because of all the other issues that were bothering me. Okay. So I read a lot of books. I watch a lot of television. I listen to a lot of folks. I'm just not moving around as much as I need to for the sake of the stamina building issues for my body. And I need to build up my stamina because my mother used to say, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it, you know. So we need to look at how much fluence do we really have, you know, do we really have on the face of this earth? And some of us feel that our past lives have come and we've come in with, you know, baggage, and we've come in with a lot of gunk and stuff like that. But as we change on our own, and cause the shift to happen, we can do this individually in our own space. And if each individual does this, we create the 100th monkey effect. You remember that? That shifting, the more we shift, that critical mass begins. And we are influencing that critical mass every single day. So don't take heart when you look at the news that all of this stuff is happening, all of this crap is going on. Don't let that get you down. Stay in your knowing and stay in your present, you know? I know Kryon was talking about how in India, people go to this river, and when they bathe in this river, their intention is to cleanse all the negativity from their energy, from their essence, to cleanse it, even from their DNA. They are cleansing themselves, you know? You can do that. You don't have to go to a river. Your intentions can be your cleansing process. If you want to do something physical and literal, then I would say what I told a friend a couple of weeks ago. She was, oh, man, she was having a meltdown. I told her to cut it out. Stop it. Go. Fill it up with water. And I love taking a shaman's bath. I fill it with a quarter cup of baking soda, a quarter cup of sea salt, and 10 drops of sage essential oil. And I just submerge myself in that water with some bubbles, because I have to have my bubbles. And I just lay back, and I let the scent of the essential oils just waft, you know, all around me. And, oh, man. And I just imagine all the angst and all of that negative energy and the fluence of the world just falling off of me and into that tub of water. And when I stand up, it stays there. And I open the drain and I imagine and intend that it is being flushed away down the drain. And then if I want, I put on the shower and I complete the transformation of cleansing. It's so beautiful. You know, so what we've got to understand is that we've got to stay in our moment. And we can't allow what we see on TV or what we hear in the news or what we see outside the window. This three-dimensional existence is crumbling, and we are entering into a higher dimensional state. Remember, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So once we realize that, we can affect change at any moment, at any time that we intend. So we can ask our Creator to bless us by allowing us, to bless us and receive our intention to drop those things that we don't need in this lifetime. And we just intend by saying, Dear Spirit, I am dropping those things that do not propel me into kindness and that keep me from being joyous and at peace. Dear Spirit, I am in charge of my own biology. I desire a constant state of peace, joy, compassion, and happiness for the rest of my life. In doing this on a daily basis, whenever you think about it, you will begin to affect a change, a beautiful change in your own DNA. Okay? I remember something else that Jose Stevens said in his Power Bath, Keys to Transformation. He said that life is so much harder if we behave stupidly and fail to see that by avoiding being present and avoiding the symptoms of our negative thoughts, we make ourselves even more miserable. Did you hear that? Like, he's saying, don't be stupid. You know, we tell children, don't call people stupid. But that's basically what he's saying. Or he's saying, people who behave stupidly, so he's not calling people stupid. But what my mother used to say, she used to look at stuff and, you know, like she was in her 80s. And she would just shake her head. And I'd say, what's the matter, Ma? She's saying, stupid, stupid people. Look at them, Yolanda. Look at them, Duchess. Stupid, stupid people. And I said, what do you mean? She said, don't you understand that they don't understand, that they don't even know they're stupid because they're stupid, you know? So we don't want to be a part of those persons who behave stupidly by thinking that, you know, we can't affect the change of what's going on because our nature is to be present. Our nature is to be self-aware. Our nature is to be highly conscious and self-illuminating. And this happens most easily when we are empty of thoughts. But instead, stand in our knowingness. This allows us to be in accord with supreme intelligence of the universe. Because excess thinking throws us out of the present and has us investing in fear instead. The conscious mind needs to know this, that inwardly all we need to do is intend. The consequence of being self-aware is feeling better than we have ever felt before. And this is available at all times. This is available everywhere. This is available for everyone. The consequence of being what Jose calls myopically in fear is to be miserable, causing us to distract ourselves from how fearful we have become, only making us more fearful because we are not seeing that we ourselves are the cause of our own fear. You walk around in fear. I have a woman that, you know, she doesn't want to look at certain things because they frighten her. You know, I was taught a long time ago that, you know, to overcome fear, sometimes you have to face it. So, Jose was saying that right now the entire human race is having an opportunity to see this stupidity clearly. And because life is hard, life is much harder if we are stupid, much harder if we are ignorant. And there you go. And once again, right now the entire human race is having an opportunity to see the stupidity. But will they see it? Do they see it? Things will get worse and worse until no distractions will work anymore. You know, those distractions, that cell phone, me with the movies, you know, like drinking, how about eating too much, you know, all those distractions, all of those addictions that we have to turn off the reality of what's going on around us, okay? Things will get worse and worse until no distractions will work anymore. That's the drugs, once again, the alcohol and the food and the sex and all this other stuff that you want. I have a friend, every time you turn around, you know, her distraction is travel. That's her in the moment all the time. You know, let's just not even deal with what's in front of me because I'm on the road all the time. I want to see new, and that's a beautiful thing. As long as when you're on the road, you're in your presence, that you're in your moment. Okay? Gambling is a distraction. I may be going to the casino tomorrow, but I know I have the utmost compassion for those persons who are addicted and need to possibly consider Gamblers Anonymous. Because there's a 12-step program for that as well. Things will get worse and worse until no distractions will work anymore. Then we will look and see that happiness is in our own conscious awareness and misery is of our making through projection, through denial, and through those distractions. When this occurs, things will cease to get worse and worse, and they will get better and better instead. So, you know, life has its bumps. Life has its stumbling blocks. But we can always say, always say those for Ho'oponopono blessings, those statements, constantly, you know, so you can forgive. I forgive you. When you're forgiving you, you're forgiving you. I'm sorry. I love you. Thank you. Those four statements, in any order, it's my understanding they can be said in whatever order you feel them the most. Mine is, I am so sorry for all the pain and angst that I have caused me. I forgive you. Yes, I'm forgiving you, Duchess. Then I'm saying thank you for allowing me to be forgiven. I love you. You know, I also watched that movie Divergent. And I firmly believe that all of us on the face of this earth could be striving to be divergent. Now, what is divergent? They have five factions in that movie. Five factions. You know, there's the brave that were called the Dauntless. Dauntless. I mean, they were the security, you know, people. And I mean, they were like crazy. They did all kinds of stuff. They were wild. They were brave. They were strong. You know, they were like the military. And then there was the peaceful. Those were the amity. Those were your farmers. They believed in peace. They believed in cultivating the land. They didn't believe in all of that other crazy stuff. And then there was erudite. Those were the highly intellectual people. They were in the books and, you know, they would read stuff and they would learn stuff and they were supposed to be the smart, smart people. And then there was candor. Candor were honest. I mean, they were honest I guess, sometimes to a fault because they hurt your feelings. They were so honest. They just told you. And then there was the, how do you say that? Oh, I can't even pronounce it. Oh. They were the selfless ones. I just can't say the word. I can't pronounce that darn word. Well, I'm going to find it for you right now. Ah! Abnegation. I just could not pull that word out of my brain. They were the selfless, you know, like, you know, they were very modest. You know, you can only spend so much time in the mirror, you know, you were like, And then, of course, there were the factionless people who didn't fit in anywhere. So, their position or where they stood in the community was inconclusive. So, most of them were considered dangerous. But to be divergent meant you were all of these. And I believe that for us to strive to be brave, but peaceful, to be intelligent and honest, and to be kind, which is the selfless, that's something that our spirit, that's something that we were, in, to me, spiritually entombed to be on the face of the earth to embody all of these five different, how do you say, existences or beings. I want to be candor. I want to be honest. I want to be erudite. I want to know stuff. I want to be intelligent, intellectual. I want to be amity, okay? I want to be peaceful. That's how I want to walk. I want to walk in peace. And I want to be abnegation. I really want to be selfless and help other people and be kind to them. You know? And loving to them. And I want to be dauntless. I want to be brave. So when I looked at that movie, I said, oh my goodness. There's a lot of us on the face of this earth that's already striving to be divergent. Okay? And that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. I like the thought. I enjoy that thought. So there you go. That's me letting you know thoughts of Jose Stevens of the Power Path. Thoughts from Cryon. That's me, Carol's channeling. I gave you a little bit of Joe Vitale's understanding of Ho'oponopono, and I gave you my thoughts on that movie Divergent. Good movie, but this is a trilogy. There's Divergent, there's Insurgent, and then there's Allegiant. So, but watch them in the order that you need to watch them: Divergent, Insurgent, and Allegiant. And it's cool. It's a cool movie. So, before we go, I'd like to talk about the 9 steps in recovery, the principles, 9 steps in recovery. It's amazing, the 9 step. All right, before we do that, you know I have to run through the steps because there are some people out there that don't know what the 12 steps of recovery that are based upon AA Central Service and all 12-step recovery programs follow these 12 steps. One, we admit we are powerless over our addictions, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, you know, those 12 steps are a spiritual guide that most of us who are in recovery, no matter what we're in recovery for, we will know if someone claims they're in recovery. Why? Because it does bring about a spiritual awakening, and it automatically makes us grow spiritually. So when we ask our Creator to remove our shortcomings and remove our defects of character, we do our best to see to it that they're being removed, because that is our intention. So we do our best not to be ugly in any way ever again towards anyone, including people who are doing ugly stuff to us. We have a spiritual way of dealing with that stuff. Now, I say spiritual. I ain't saying religious. We ain't talking about turn the other cheek here. We have a spiritual way of dealing with those things. So you know a person who is just sober, abstaining from drinking or drugging or eating or dieting or abstaining from gambling. And the difference when you look at a person who is actually in recovery, because they have worked those 12 steps to become spiritually awake. Okay? So with that said, me fussing going on here, the 9th principle, which coincides with the 9th step, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So the 9th step marries up with the 8th step, because in the 8th step, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Okay? That's in our 8th step. And then when we move on to the 9th step, we got that list in front of us. We may direct amends to those people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Okay? The principle of amendment underscores how important it is to make a real effort to correct any mistakes you have made, because it requires a direct positive action for a past negative action. Some people refer to this principle as justice. unright wrongs result in unresolved guilt that can stunt your emotional growth during recovery. The weight of that guilt can slow your progress and even lead directly to relapse. Making amends, or at least trying to, relieves you of that guilt. Also, making direct amends in a manner related to the harm helps drive home the idea that your actions have consequences. So not only do amends help correct the past, they also remind you to avoid repeating those hurtful mistakes in the future. So an amends is much greater than just an apology. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. Finally, it is extremely likely that the people who are harmed the most by your addiction, no matter what it is, were those closest to you, a spouse, partner, children, parents, close friends, employers. When you make a sincere attempt to make up the harm you caused, it goes a long way towards repairing and rebuilding positive relationships. Positive relationships and support are crucial to successful and lasting recovery. There are a few things to keep in mind. Number one, like I said, an amend is much, much, much more than apology. Sometimes direct amends can be impossible. In that case, your only option might be to make indirect amends by living your best life possible. You may even have to write a letter to someone who has transitioned. And I have had people do that when I'm working with them. I have them write a letter, address it to, like, wherever you think they are now in their transition. Okay? Do not put a return address. Put a stamp on it and actually mail it to heaven, I don't know, to hell, to wherever you think that person is that you need to make that amends to, it's because they're no longer alive. Make that be the address, no return address, put a stamp on it, and you mail that bad boy. To me, you have made an intentional amends. Your attempt is really necessary. You have to understand that. But their forgiveness is not. So you may make an attempt to go and make an amends to somebody. I saw this on TV. This man was in recovery and he wanted to make an amends after years. And maybe years. He had raped somebody. Oh my gosh. And he made an amends to this person. And this person, well, he made his amends because he was in a recovery program. This person was not about to accept it and wanted him prosecuted after finding out who it was that did rape her. Okay? And, of course, you can't blame her. That's why it says to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And that others could be you, okay? It could be you. So in essence, he wanted to make that amends to her, that direct amends, but it wound up hurting him in the long run. And in the show that I was watching, I think it was the show that I was watching, He accepted the fact that he had to go to prison, you know, for what he had done. And that was him accepting his punishment for what he had done. Okay? And that's cool. And well, now that the show has come to its conclusion, and you know that your attempt is necessary in making an amends, there's various ways for you to make that amends. And the best way for you to decide how to make an amends is to sit down with your sponsor of whatever recovery program you're in, because that's what they're for. They're to guide you in your process. Without a sponsor, you haven't worked those steps. You just read through them. You need to sit down with somebody to work through these steps. So, here you go. I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling so good. Excuse me. Still clearing my throat. I'm going to pick a sacred geometry oracle card for those of you out there because, you know, as an oracle, I like to give you some blessings and some things to carry you for the next couple of weeks. Okay. 43, that's the hexagon. 43. The hexagon, beauty and perfection. The six-sided geometry of the hexagon speaks of structure, function, order. We find it in the beauty of crystals, the perfection of snowflakes, the symmetry of beehives. Beauty surrounds you. This card suggests that you focus on that beauty and seek ways to bring it more consciously into your life. Most lives are filled and overflowing with places to go, people to see. Sometimes in our busyness, we forget to notice the beauty that surrounds us everywhere on the planet. Sometimes the walk in the woods is in order. Move deliberately, allowing all your senses to become aware of the perfection that surrounds you in nature. Listen to the birds. Smell the scents of the forest. This may be the perfect day to gather your family for a visit to the art museum. Perhaps you will want to stop at the florist and bring flowers home to cheer and calm the air. Or purchase a crystal and place it where you will notice it every day to remind you in your fast-paced life to take time to appreciate its beauty and perfection. This card is saying that we need to walk in beauty. But if the card is shown up in reverse, as it has, the card is saying, you see only ugliness and neglect. Everywhere there is decay and sadness. Depression threatens to overcome your sense of well-being. Do not isolate yourself. Talk to a friend or wise elder and gain another perspective. Remember to look for the beauty and it will be into your life. Smile at yourself in the mirror. Rent a Marx Brothers movie and laugh yourself silly. That's what I do when I feel like I'm being depressed. I go to YouTube and I bring up comedians, you know. One of my favorite comedians of date is Joe Coy. He is amazing. And you can bring him up on YouTube or you can bring him up on Netflix if you have Netflix. It's J-O-K-O-Y. Okay, he sells out stadiums, not just auditoriums. He's funny. All right, So you have a blessed day. I'm loving everybody, and stay in peace with yourself. Stay in the world of the moment and intention. You know, intend. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Take care. Thank you.